Good morning. Good to have you with us this morning. We're going to continue our series in the Advent. I never thought, you know, we say Advent series, you might think, what's Advent mean? It means coming. This is about the first Advent of Christ, His first coming into the world. And when we talk about end time prophecies and His second coming, that's called the second Advent. So, I'm sorry, Matt may have explained that in his first sermon, I don't remember. But we're talking this morning about the first coming of Christ. We've went from Genesis to where God promised the first couple that He had a remedy for what they had done. Isaiah, he talked about this unique son that would be born into the world. Last week we read of the Levite priest named Zechariah who an angel visited and said, God's going to give you this special son who turned out to be John the Baptist. Jesus said, the greatest prophet born among men. He was the forerunner of the Christ. And this morning we're going to be talking about a young lady named Mary. And the title of this message is Mary's Song. Mary was a peasant girl from Nazareth, from that area. And we know she was a poor girl engaged to a poor carpenter. You can say, well, how do you know all that? Are you reading into that? When Jesus was born and they went to make the sacrifice for His dedication to the Lord, they were said they came to offer, according to the law of Moses, two young pigeons or two turtle doves, and that was the offering God allowed for the poor to make. If you couldn't afford a ram or a bull, He said, you can bring me two doves or two pigeons. So we know they were poor. And Mary was engaged to this carpenter. Now, Jewish engagement's a little different than ours at that time in the culture. They had been through the wedding ceremony, and in essence, they're considered married. But after the marriage was performed, they had sometimes they would have a feast. The groom would go home to his parents or to his home, and the bride went to her parents' home, and the groom would get a room ready for her. And if he lived with mom and dad, he had to wait till dad said, the room's ready, go get your wife. And then he'd go get her, and he'd bring her home into his house. And Joseph and Mary were betrothed. They'd been married, but they hadn't come together yet. And one day an angel appeared to Mary, the same one who appeared to Zechariah. And he said, blessed are you among women. So you're highly favored. And it said Mary was wondering, what kind of greeting is that? And he told her, he said, God has favored you. He said, you're going to have a son, and you're going to call him Jesus. And Mary said, wait a minute, I've never been with a man. How's that going to happen? And he said, the power of the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you, and the child in your womb will be the Son of God. You remember Zechariah, when Gabriel told him how him and Elizabeth were going to have a child, in the natural way, he said, how do I know that's going to happen? And the angel said, well, since you didn't believe me, you won't be able to talk until the baby's born. Mary didn't respond that way. She said, behold, the servant of the Lord. Let it be done according to your word. And now we're going to talk about her song. This is Elizabeth's 6 month of pregnancy with John. And Gabriel told her, he said, your relative, the King James says, your cousin Elizabeth is now in her 6 month. This lady that everybody said couldn't have a kid, and the angel said, what's impossible with God? So in this story, Mary goes to see Elizabeth, and this is where we come in at. In Luke 1, 39 through 56, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is this child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. A lot of things going on here that hadn't been going on for 400 years in Israel. This is the second time in 2 weeks that we've read of somebody being filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesying. You remember I told you in the book of Malachi, God gave a prophecy and said he was sending a prophet before he was sending the Son. And then for 400 years, God didn't talk anymore. He just let Israel do their own thing. They had their religious practices in their way. They interpreted the law the way they wanted to and kind of made a mess of it. And now all of a sudden, God shows up. And we know that God shows up because he fills people with his Spirit. And something that was kind of unheard of in this culture, it happened once in a while, a woman was filled with the Holy Spirit. It said when Mary walked into Elizabeth's house and said, "Hey, Elizabeth," the baby leaped and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she prophesied. She prophesied in the sense before Mary evidently had any time to tell her, "I'm pregnant." Elizabeth said, "Blessed are you who believe what the Lord said to you." And she said, "What is this that the mother of my Lord has come to see me?" Now, Mary hadn't told her yet she was pregnant. The Holy Spirit, speaking through Elizabeth, pronounces a blessing on Mary because she said, "You've believed what the Lord said to you." And she said, "What is this that the mother of my Lord has come to me?" Now, I had a good friend that was Roman Catholic, and we never talked about religion. I knew him for about a year. And I remember one day he came to the house. He came by himself. He married, had a wife and 3 kids. And he asked if he could talk to me. And I said, "Sure." We sit down. And he said, "You know, when people ask me, 'Are you a Christian?' I say, 'Sure, I'm a Catholic. You know, I was raised in the Catholic Church, baptized as a baby in the Catholic Church, and I'm a Christian.'" And he said, "But after I've known you for this year," he said, "I really don't know how to answer that question." He said, "You seem to have something I don't have." And he said, I know about Jesus Christ, I know about God, but he said, you seem to act like you just know him." And I started telling him, you know, that's that relationship we have with Jesus Christ. And as we began to talk, I said, I got a question for you. I said, "You guys call Mary the mother of God?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Don't you believe Jesus is God?" I said, "Oh yeah, you know, 100%. He's God. He's God the Word." But I said, "If Mary's God's mom, who's his dad?" And he said, "I never thought about that." I said, "The Word of God was here in eternity past. He's never had a beginning. He's never had an end." I said, "Mary isn't God's mother. She's the mother of Jesus. Jesus had a beginning, not the Word of God. Jesus, the Son, had a beginning in the womb of this young lady named Mary. And she's the mother of Jesus. Is Jesus God? Yes. But he existed. He created the womb that he's now in." And my friend said, "I never thought about that." And we didn't have an argument about it, but I want to clear the air. Elizabeth didn't say, "What's this that the mother of God has come to me?" She said, "The mother of my Lord." And Mary, I notice in this song, it's not all about Mary. That would be tempting to say, look at me. Look who God picked to have his kid. Me. Like that one country song. I can't stand it, but I want to talk about me. What's that guy? Toby Keith? Yeah. I want to talk about me. And you know, in the Christmas season, our thoughts tend to turn inward. You notice that? I sure hope I get what I want this year, and if I don't, I might have a little hissy fit and pout and let everybody know my feelings are hurt because I didn't get what I wanted or what I think I deserve. I've been waiting all year for and hinting around about it because Christmas is all about me. You know, it's a chance for you to shower me with a loving presence to show me how much you love me. And Mary doesn't go into this great discourse about what a good person she is or look what God's doing. She does praise the Lord. And she says, He's looked upon the humble estate. And He's done mighty things. Now, one of the mighty things I can think of that He did is cause the virgin conception. Think about the unique position God has placed Mary in. Imagine you're Gabriel, or you're there when Gabriel... Don't imagine you're Gabriel. I don't want you to get deluded. Just imagine you're there when Gabriel's talking to Mary. And he says, Mary, you're blessed of God. And he says, you're pregnant. That's what he said. You're pregnant. She said, no. She said, I'm a good girl. That's what Mary said. I'm a good girl. I'm a girl of the law of Moses. I haven't been with any man. He said, well, I know that, but God's put a baby in you. And now she has to go tell the man she's engaged to, I'm pregnant. But don't worry, honey, it's God's kid. Guys, how would you accept that? Joseph didn't believe it. It says later in the Scriptures that when Joseph found out she was pregnant, he was a just man. He didn't want to bring her to disgrace, so he was thinking privately about how to divorce her. Because, see, that the ceremony had already been performed, he would have had to give her a bill of divorce. And the reason would have been she's unclean. She's not a virgin. And under the law of Moses, she could be stoned to death for that. So Joseph, being said he was a just man, Joseph thought, you know, this isn't my kid. And I can't buy this that she's pregnant by God. Because I don't think God engages in such activities. You know, I mean, think about it, guys. In all honesty, if you were engaged to a lady and she comes and said, I'm pregnant, but it's okay, it's God's kid, we're going to say, yeah, right. And Mary was in this unique position that she had to go to her husband-to-be and say, I'm pregnant. But it's with the Christ. Now, we know later, an angel talked to Joseph in a dream. And he said, don't be afraid. The baby that's in her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit, and you're going to name him Jesus. And it said, Joseph got up that night and took Mary home to be his wife. He never touched her till after the Christ was born. Imagine the unique position that Mary was in when the local gossips got together and said, you know, I've been counting it off. And their wedding ceremony was on this time. And Mary's starting to show here. And it's before they supposedly joined as husband and wife. I think we got a woods colt here. Now, some of you old-timers know what I'm talking about, a woods colt. That's what they used to call babies conceived out of wedlock, because you kind of kept that hid. Nowadays, people don't care. But back then, it was shameful. And I can imagine the town gossips wagging their tongues about Mary. And God's placed her in this position. People's going to misunderstand you. People's going to talk about you. But He said, I've chosen you. Now, imagine you with children, especially young children, and you find out you're not going to be here in a week. Say God just tells you, in a week I'm calling you both home. So you need to pick somebody to raise your kids. And maybe you don't have very much family in the area or friends, and you have to make a decision, who's going to raise my kids? You wouldn't just walk up and knock on somebody's door and say, hey, you want some kids? You know, I'm not going to be here in a while. And I'd like somebody to raise my kids, so are you interested? You would search carefully. You would go over it in your mind. You and your spouse would sit down and talk about it, the pros and cons of certain people raising your kids, because you'd want to give them the best home. Now, Mary must have been quite a woman for God Almighty to say, she's going to carry my son. And Mary and Joseph must have been quite a couple for God to say, I trust these two to raise my kid in a godly home. Think about that. But Mary doesn't have a it's all about me song. In fact, she says, God, my Savior. Mary knew that God was her Savior. Mary didn't think that she was going to go to heaven because she was carrying the Christ. She recognized she needed a Savior. And I want to tell you this morning, I'll tell you till the day I die, as long as God gives me breath, you cannot be saved until you know you need a Savior. Saved, the Greek word saved, the Hebrew word saved, it means rescued from imminent danger. We're in danger of death, spiritual death, not annihilation, separation from God. And until you realize that, not even God can help you. I said that one time and I offended some people. God can do anything He wants. Yeah, but He won't make you get saved. And even today when we talk about salvation, you notice how we present it? It's like we're marketers trying to sell Jesus. Look what's in it for you. You need to come to Jesus. Look what's in it for you. Even Peter, one of his right-hand guys, said, we've left everything to follow you. What's in it for us? And Mary, she's praising God for what He's done in her life, and she says, God's my Savior, and God's lifted me up. She said, all generations will call me blessed, and we do, don't we? That was a blessed woman. But she didn't stop there. Mary looked at the whole picture. She knew the prophecies. She knew that God promised that He was sending this child into the world who would bear the sins of the world, that the world might be saved through Him. And she was one of those people. Remember I told you there's two kinds of people for the most part. Those that know about God and those that want to know God. There's those that know they need a Savior. There are those who think they're okay. You know, I go to church, I throw a little money in the box, I read my Bible once a week. I shed a tear when we sing the old rugged cross. So I believe I'm going to heaven. And then there's those, like Jesus said, the publican in the temple said he couldn't even look up. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, that's the one that God had mercy on. And you see, Mary believed what the Lord said to her through the angel. And she was a humble enough person. She said, God, my Savior. Mary knew that this baby she was carrying came to save her from her sins. And not only her, but anyone who was going to believe in Him. Especially the nation of Israel. She said, He has performed mighty things in me. You know that these are the people that God chooses to use for His purpose. They cannot lead who will not follow. One of my professors told me that in Bible college. I never forgot that, and I've seen the truth of it in 13 years of ministry. You get people coming all the time, I think God's calling me to do this. And you can look at them and say, no, He's not. You won't follow. I remember at one time in my life, when I was a kid, and you know, I'd been baptized, and I just thought God was pretty lucky to have somebody like me on His team. I'd never smoked a cigarette or took a drink. You know, I wouldn't cuss. I didn't do stuff other kids were doing. Wasn't God lucky to have a guy like me on His side? And I was lost as a ball in tall weeds. It wasn't until that night I fell on my face and said, God, be merciful to me. I'm undone without You. That's when He answered me. Mary has this humble spirit and this humble heart, and she said, God, my Savior's done great things for me. And then she sees the good for everybody else that God's going to do. She says, Mary praised God for His mercy, which He showed from generation to generation. Some teach that's an all-encompassing blanket mercy. The Universalist Church teaches that. Since all men were in sin and Christ died for all men are going to heaven. You remember that show, Touched by an Angel? Highway to Heaven with Michael Landon. Everybody used to just love that show. That's Universalism. I even heard one preacher in the Highway to Heaven, he repented to his congregation and said, I've been teaching you wrong, that you've got to get saved through Jesus. You don't have to get saved. You're already saved. God loves all of you and you're all going to heaven. And I'm sorry, so sorry I taught you wrong. You know, no. When Mary said He shows mercy from generation to generation, God told Moses, I will have mercy on those from generation to generation who love mercy. me. I will show my mercy to those who love me. God's saying, I'll show my mercy to those who know they need it. I'll show my salvation to those who know they need to be saved. That's what Mary's praising God for. He's here. Merry Christmas. He's here. The child God's promised us, He's here. The new covenant, it's now going to start. Mary knew the prophecies of Jeremiah 31 when God said, I'm going to write my laws in your heart. I'm going to make a brand new covenant with you. I'll be in you. And you'll be my people and I'll be your God. That's why Mary's singing this song. That's why she's praising the Lord for what He's done in her life and also what He's going to do in the lives of those who's going to receive this. She understands that God's fulfilling His promise, which only the humble will receive. In the Beatitudes, Jesus said, blessed are the poor. The King James said, blessed are ye poor. The NIV, I think it says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And the Greek work I've read on the exegesis of the scholars say that's the implication Jesus is meaning. Not those who are in poverty necessarily, but those who are poor in spirit. And that word poor, it's a very specific word in the Greek. It means those who are driven to beg. And Jesus said to the crowds when He started preaching, He said, if you're poor in spirit, you're blessed. Beggar man or a beggar woman has no misconception about their place in life. If you don't help me, I'm not going to eat. And Jesus said, when you're poor spiritually and you can look at God and say, if you don't do something, I'm lost. Jesus said, you're blessed when you come to that point. That's what Mary's singing about. God's going to show that mercy He's been talking to us about for centuries. Now it's going to happen. No wonder she's singing. No wonder Elizabeth is singing. They had a hallelujah shouting party. I'd kind of like to have been there, except now I'd be dead. But I just think it would have been neat, you know, to be there. And, well, there are pros and cons to everything. But to be there and listen to them two women. Don't you know they had a time shouting and praising God and singing, you know? That bothers me when I go into a church and we sit there and go, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Better be quiet in God's house. He might kill us all. And then I'll see Christians go to ball game and go, ah! Get up and stomp, shout, and scream. And boy, that's a bad call, ref. You know, how many fingers am I holding up? Well, how come you can get all excited about a stupid sporting event? You can't get excited about the fact that God sent His Son to save you from sin. And if you're a Christian, it's because you received what God did for you, not because you did anything great. We got it backwards. I go to sporting events, I sit quiet. I want to see what's going on. I want to listen to what's going on. I get irritated when people around me start shouting and stomping. I can't hear what's going on. Stop. But in church, it ought to be noisy. Amen. I tell you what, I was reading Revelation a while back, and John's in heaven, and they're singing and praising God, and he said, it sounded like thunder. Some of you are going to be so disappointed when you get to heaven. You're going to want to sit there with your hands, and you're not going, I think you ought to be quiet in the house of God. Yeah, you're going to say, ha! No, I think when you get there, you'll have something to shout about. But on this earth, you already got something to be happy about. We all have bad days. This shooting in Connecticut really tore me up. It broke my heart. And God's still a good God. This kind of stuff's been going on in the world. Herod wiped out a whole town full of babies trying to kill this baby right here. This isn't new. It's a reminder of the evil of man and the goodness of God. There's 20 new faces in heaven. There's 20 new spirits standing around the throne singing glory and praise that'll never be heard again. That's His mercy and His goodness. That's what Mary's singing about. I just love this. You know, I noticed when I was studying it, there's just a few lines that she said, thank you, God, for what you've done for me. But then she focuses on people. Get ready. It's coming. The Christ is here. And I'm going to carry this child, and He's come here for the sins of the world. And it's only because of Him that you and I can sit here this morning and sing praises. and say thank you for what you've done in my life. Why don't you stand with me? If you're here this morning and maybe you're saying, you know, I do believe in God, but I've never called on Him to save me. Let me assure you, the Scripture says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I'm going to invite you to come down. Don't walk out of here without doing it. And if you don't want to come down here and talk to me in front of everybody, I'll be here after church. I'll sit down and talk to you. Don't pass up this great gift that we celebrate on this Christmas. The gift of God's one and only Son to save you and to save me from our sins.
Father God, we just thank you so much for Jesus coming into the world. We know that He came here to go to that cross, to die, to save us. And we also know that He's coming again, and we look forward to that day. I thank you, Father, for the message that's been delivered, and I just pray that we get excited about who Jesus was and who He is and who He will always be. Just bless those who have issues in their lives, be with Brother Hank, as he has an MRI this week, and I know there are a number of others on the prayer list, and just continue to reach out to them, pray for them, Lord, and we just pray that good things will come from all that. Go with us as we go our separate ways. I ask for your blessings and your guidance. In Christ I pray. Amen.